When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good day. What's going on, everyone? Welcome into First Take. What a time to be in NYC. Tim Legler's in the house. All sorts of warmed up. Stephen A is out in Miami living his best life.
What? Hold up.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now I'm here in South Beach, so I never usually have a frown on my face in South Beach. But what the hell is that? With those seating arrangements. Why are you, Tim Legler, not sitting in my chair? Why is that man, Mad Dog Russo, in my chair? What are you doing in my chair?
You're saying it reversed.
I was wondering why I felt more bombastic and a little bit more absurd than I normally do. It's permeating through the chair. I kind of like the way this feels. You can stay out there. You can stay in
Well, the video is in reverse.
They promised me they were going to fix that.
Don't worry.
I got your seat.
Green screen action. You'll get there, Stephen A. Maybe in year 50 you're in TV. You'll figure it out.
Oh, my God.
And Christopher Mad Dog Russo, it's Wednesday.
How are you?
I heard you had a rough commute.
Oh, my God. 2 hours and 25 minutes in
it's
the Darien train station.
It's tough living in Fairfield County.
Oh, my goodness. Get me to work. I can't read my own mail, for crying out
loud. It's too early for the
Look, we got a little play-by-play. Oh. You look so defeated.
You really do.
Oh, my God, you got that video. I'm shot.
You look disheveled.
And now I gave Danny a hard time. Danny, don't talk to me.
Look at you. You're checking your watch.
Oh, I'm mad.
You weren't sitting behind the wheel, though. You weren't behind the wheel.
It's worse when you're not behind the wheel.
Hold on. Why are you giving Danny silent treatment? Is this a Mad Dog fit?
Because Danny looks at me, and he looks at my watch, and he realizes that I'm running a little late, and so me to act. Aggravate him and annoyed at the driver and the commute and the roads and everything else. Yeah. It's impossible.
You should do next time that happens? Just try some deep breathing.
I did. A little Mary Chapin Carpenter. Keep me going.
I would ask you folks,
you don't just bring up the name Danny without giving him his proper respect. That is our top security guy. And to the American people out there, Danny is one of those dudes who will kick your ass. Let's make sure we understand. That's who was escorting Dodie into the show.
That's our guy. Let's go. All right, let's do this, guys. Talk some NBA. Talking playoffs. All right, OKC takes game one from the Mavs, staying unbeaten in the playoffs. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 29 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists to help the top-seeded Thunder beat the Mavericks 117-95. As for Dallas, Luka Doncic struggled from the field, shooting 6 for 19, also having 5 turnovers. Here he is after the game.
We've talked about your knee. You know, Oklahoma City is a good defense. When you look at your shooting night, you know, what went into that?
Who cares? We lost, man. We just got to move on to the next one. I got to be better. We got to be better and just, you know, we're known for game one struggling. But we got to focus. They're a great team, great defensive team, great offensive team. So it's not going to be easy at all. We got to play very good basketball and focus basketball for 48 minutes.
All right, South Beach Steve, here's the deal. Are the Thunder and Timberwolves on a collision course?
I believe they are. You can't summarily dismiss Kyrie and Luka, and I understand that because their greatness is not to be denied nor questioned, particularly this season with what we've seen from the great Kyrie Irving, who obviously is spectacular. But listen, Tim Legler, Doggy, listen, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is my league MVP. I've said that weeks ago. He's been a model of consistency throughout this year. They ended up being the number one seed. What they've been able to accomplish as the second youngest team in the NBA, I got to give props to where it's due, and that's where I stand with them. But then you watched them last night, and Shai Gilgeous with his 29-9-9, that's a given at this stage and point in his career. And by the way, it was more than perfectly within his right to tweet out the other day, highlighting him, Gallinaro, and six first-round picks were what were given up for the Clippers to acquire Paul George. Most of us might bring that up, but him as a player, bringing that up, he had every right to do it. So let's get that out the way. I'm looking at the Oklahoma City Thunder. The youth, the perimeter shooting, the athleticism, I think they're a bit thin. They lack girth, but that's it. To be as young as they are, to be as selfless as they are, to trust one another as much as they do, to have the chemistry and camaraderie that they have, to know when to delegate to the superstar, and for him to be willing to delegate to others. All of those things are plus, Tim. You know that a hell of a lot better than me. But here's what I want to say. I've talked a lot about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. One of the players I absolutely love is this brother, Jalen Williams. He is something special. Tim, this brother is something special. The athleticism, the strength, the ferocity, the shooting. He hit a couple of big-time threes, and they just ultimately ran away with it. They seem to have that extra oomph, that extra engine that you need to rev up and turn it on more so than Dallas does. I know we saw what Dallas did against the Clippers. We can question whether or not that would have happened if Kawhi Leonard had been on the court, even though that's a question we shouldn't ask because he usually isn't when it counts. Only played in four of the last 19 eligible playoff games the Clippers have had. That's Kawhi Leonard. But in the case of Oklahoma City Thunder, that youth, that fervor, that tenacity, the skills, the shooting. Chet Holmgren can shoot. Jalen Williams can shoot. Lou Dort can defend better than most. I mean, I'm just looking at it, and I'm saying, hey, this is the collision course that we are on. I don't think Minnesota loses this series to Denver, and I certainly don't believe Oklahoma City is going to lose to Dallas. I think the collision course is inevitable, and it's going to be Minnesota versus OKC.
Take it easy. Take it easy. My gosh, almighty. They're not the 85 Lakers. I mean, my goodness. Take it. Minnesota, I give you. But my gosh, Oklahoma City, who obviously beat a Pelican team that was not 100% without Zion. Good win yesterday. We understand that. Got to give Dallas a little chance. Geez, Dallas lost the first game to the Clippers. They got killed. Leonard didn't play. And they bounced back and they won four of the next five. I'm going to let Timmy go do Dallas because he picked them for the conference final long time ago, so he's been on them a lot longer than I have. But let's take it. Put a little break on it. A little? Can you calm down? Oklahoma City has not yet been tested. They were in game one against the Pelicans, and the Pelicans had four opportunities at 90-88 to score and took bad shots. So I have to see a little more here before I'm automatically convinced that OKC is going to be in the conference final. Listen, they got a lot of guys. They can shoot. SGA is an excellent player. They got home court. They killed Dallas last night. Lucas played a lot of games, looked a little banged up. Timmy will address that in a second. But I got to put the break. Minnesota's different. All right, Minnesota did a great job. They haven't lost the playoff game yet. They've been phenomenal. They killed Denver twice in Denver. Who knows on Jokic? We're going to leave Minnesota alone. Stevie got that one right, but the whole world knows that. So Stevie's not telling anything that you or me or him doesn't know. All right, fine. Timberwolves in a conference final. Put a break on the
Thunder. Why are you always trying to rain on the parade?
Say again?
Why are you always trying to break? Why are you always trying to rain on the parade? When you come here every Wednesday and you got the world fixated and transfixed on seeing you on a Wednesday morning, and then you go on your afternoon drive show on SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time every weekday, and you pontificate and you prognosticate and you talk about stuff you don't hear anybody else telling you. Take it easy. Take it easy. Let's pump the brakes. You know. You got a lot of nerves. A whole lot. Go ahead, Tim.
The floor is yours. He's a little cranky today. It's okay.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a tough ride.
It was a tough ride.
I'm in a great mood.
It was tough being in the
back. Talking about Doggy. Doggy had a long commute.
It was tough in his car service.
Right. The car service was brutal, apparently.
The car service was brutal going from Fairfield.
Yeah, he was having a hard time.
To New York City. It was a struggle bus.
He was having a hard time doing his crossword puzzle.
Why do you got to say where you live, Molly?
Come on.
He gave the town.
Go ahead, Tim.
All right. So listen, I'm going to start with what Stephen A. said about Oklahoma City. Love this team. No doubt about it. And what you saw last night was what a number one seed's supposed to do when you had a sweep in the first round and you're sitting there waiting on whoever shows up on your doorstep in the next round. You got fresh legs, you got energy, you got that crowd. You're the number one seed for a reason. You need to play the way that they played last night. They were super impressive. Defensively, offensively, they had balance. They shared the ball. They made a ton of threes in the second half. It felt like every single guy that walked into an open shot in the second half of that game made it. Now, no denying what I saw last night at Oklahoma City. Here's what I'll say, where I'll say we're not quite headed for this inevitable foregone conclusion matchup yet. I felt in the first round for Dallas, and I did pick them a couple months ago to go to the conference finals if they could avoid Denver. They pulled that off. So they're out of their bracket. So now this is the series they're going to have to win. Through the first four games of the Clippers series, Luka Doncic had missed 36 threes. He had missed 62 shots in the first four games. I was very worried about what I was seeing out of him. No lift. Everything was front rim on his step back, which is an enormous part of his game. And then game five happened. I don't know how he did it. If he's battling with his knee, he was dominant. He was by far the best player on that court. He controlled the action. He shot over 50% from the field. He got to the line. He picked them apart with passing. But most importantly, he made important jump shots when they had to have him in the second half of that game. And then they ended up winning that series in six. I don't like what I saw to Luka last night. I'll be the first one to admit it. And that play with Dort, when he ran by him, when Dort shot the three and Dort's leg was kind of sticking out, Luka tripped over it. He fell. He got up very slowly. He limped after that. He had no lift. He lost his aggressiveness. Every jump shot was short. And I was starting to get worried about Luka Doncic and his ability physically to do what he's going to have to do in this series. Because the whole thing hinges on Luka. Despite how great Oklahoma City has been as a team, this series hinges on Luka Doncic's ability to make jump shots. It's that simple, because he's not going to beat them by making interior pull-up jumpers and getting to the line and his passing. He's got to incorporate those step-back jumpers because they're uncontested shots. Even with Lou Dort, he's not affecting him in terms of a contest on that shot. It's all about lift. And if Luka Doncic cannot make shots in this series, they can't beat Oklahoma City. But I think it's too soon to say that, Steven. I want to see how Luka responds, whatever he looks like physically. Is he able to play through this somehow and be much better going forward? If he is, I still think Dallas has a chance to win the series.
Well, for a couple of things. First of all, apologies to the producer. That thing I mentioned about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, that was not his post. That was a fake post. I know that. The producers told me that. I just forgot. That's on me. My bad. So let's make sure that America knows Shai Gilgeous-Alexander never made that post. Let's get that out the way first, in fairness to him. Secondly, let me get back to this, what you're saying, Tim. I get where you're coming from. Here's what I want you to embrace, what I'm saying. You got the skill set that is Luka and Kyrie, who are comparable to anybody, right? Here's the flip side. Number one, the personnel they got around them. Can you deal with the personnel Oklahoma City throws at you? That's a question mark, because while those guys are deferential to Luka and Kyrie, Oklahoma City doesn't necessarily have to act that way. Because you got a boatload of individuals that got the green light to put the ball in the hole. They know when to give it to SGA, but for the most part, he's deferential to them at times, too, because he can afford to, because the ball is in his hands whenever he wants it to be. So we got that going on. Then look at the play where Dort dives on the floor to go get the ball, and Luka just shakes his head looking at him once he gets up. You know why? Because that's a level of effort you ain't gonna see from Luka on most instances. Not calling him lazy or being negative or anything like that. But Luka moves at a considerably slower pace, devoid of the urgency that those young thoroughbreds stay with. I'm looking at that. And those bodies being thrown at Luka, at Kyrie, etc., knowing it's going to mandate others, the PJ Washingtons of the world, the Gaffords of the world, the Livelys of the world, and others, to really, really, really step up their game. And I don't know if that's going to happen. Now, I'm more confident with Minnesota than I am with OKC in terms of being finite and definitive, doggy, with saying it's going to be a collision course. But I don't see any reason to doubt why Oklahoma City and Minnesota appear to be on a collision course, to be quite honest with you, at this moment in time. I don't see it.
Okay.
Again, You have to give it more than one game. Please, Stephen, please. I mean, what'd you watch the second half and go, oh, give it more than a game. Let's give Dallas. They've earned that.
No, that's you.
Timmy's been sitting here for weeks telling us how good they are.
That's you. You turn away from the games the minute you think you lost some money. I watch the games all the time.
Okay.
We'll know a lot more
Thursday night.
After the next 24 minutes.
I agree.
By halftime.
Thursday night.
Based on how Luka looks in the first half of game two,
yep.
I'm going to have a much better idea because I did not like what I saw. Even when he checked out of the game, he looked dispirited as he was taking the tape and the wrapping off his knee. He was looking at his knee. That was a bad sign for me. So I've got to see what can happen. It's not a lot of time to turn this around, but I still have enough faith in him. If he can somehow play through it, he's so good and so dominant. My faith would be in him if I can see more. But I'll know, I think, a lot more by halftime of game two.
Yeah. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys or tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Did you like what you saw from Derek White? The Celtics. Derek White stays hot as Boston routes Cleveland in a 120-95 win in game one of their semifinal series. White scored 25 points, including 7 three-pointers. He's the fifth player to make as many as 20 three-pointers over a three-game span in the postseason. As for Jason Tatum in Boston, his shooting hasn't been as hot. Tatum has been both his field goal percentage and his three-point field goal percentage take a dive during the playoffs from where they were during the regular season. Tatum has shot below 40% from the field in four of the six games that he's played in this postseason. All right, SA, you're up first. Are Tatum's shooting woes a cause for concern for you?
Yes, it is. Number one, well, what I'm seeing from the Minnesota Timberwolves. Oh, you the Boston Celtics, you're going to need Jason Tatum to play better in order to beat that team. Let's get that out the way right now. That's number one. Number two, we are sitting here at a time where Tim, Doggy, we're looking at Anthony Edwards. We're looking at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. We're looking at some of these young thoroughbreds really put their greatness on display. Luka's not away yet. Kyrie's not away yet. We see what exists in the Western Conference. We know which team had the best record in basketball. We know who had the highest expectations because they've been knocking on the door for years with at least 4 to 5 conference championship appearances and at least one NBA Finals a couple of years back when they lost to the Golden State Warriors. It's supposed to be Boston's time. There is nobody in the NBA that has a $300 million player at this particular moment other than the Boston Celtics. That would be Jaylen Brown. We know that he ain't going to be the highest paid player on the team because that's automatically going to be Jason Tatum, okay? With all of that comes great expectations. And in the end, when you look at the success that the Boston Celtics have had and you anticipate the return of Kristaps Porzingis, nothing less than a championship is going to be acceptable. And nothing less than greatness is going to be expected from Jason Tatum, especially when we see guys younger than him putting their greatness on display. You cannot struggle and not answer the call to a point where it's going to cost you a championship. You can do it now because we know you're going to beat Cleveland. We can do that. Just like we knew you're going to win your first round series. Just like we expect you to beat Indiana or New York in the conference finals. Yeah, that's fine. But we all know that the power is in the West this year in terms of the level of parity that exists because of the inordinate amount of teams that were considered championship contenders. You, Jason Tatum, you cannot be the reason this team doesn't capture the chip. You got to play better, and everybody knows that. Well, and he better know it.
Number one, Jason Tatum was awful last year in Game 6 in Philadelphia in an elimination game. And then what did he do in the last 7 or 8 minutes? He made a million shots. Yeah. So he has it, and he scored 46 against the Bucks 2 years ago in Game 6. I have some confidence he's going to bounce back. Listen, they shot 88 combined threes last night in that game. That's way too many. 88 threes in a 48-minute game between the Cavs. I mean, that's almost unwatchable. It's too many threes. But I have no problem thinking Boston is going to – they're going to kill Cleveland, and they're going to beat the Knicks or Indiana, and I think it might be the Knicks, but they're going to win that series too. And then, you know, they're going to be with home court. They'll get Porzingis back, and then they're going to play Minnesota, Oklahoma City. But Steve, all of a sudden, has seen a couple of halves. He watched Durant struggle against the T-Wolves. He got all wrapped up with Oklahoma City. And he's got – you listening to them, they're not the 62 Celtics. Let's take it easy. I mean, my goodness gracious.
Prisoner in the moment.
Hey, he's a little too wrapped up in his Western Conference. Boston's going to be a prohibitive favorite in the final. They have obviously have had many chances in the
That's
last couple
true.
Of years. They're going to win. They're still the big favorite, Steve. Big favorite in the final.
They're not going to be. First of all, they want the big favorites coming into the playoffs with Denver existing. That's not true.
Well,
and you
Denver's
know better than that.
Out,
that is not true.
They're going to be a big favorite, Steve. They're going to be a big
Denver's
favorite.
Oh, when Denver's out. When Denver's out. And who's wheeling the cart before the horse now? Who's getting caught up now? That's what I said. If you could say Denver's out, all right, and presume that they're going to be out, how come I can't? How come I can't look at Oklahoma City and feel the
because
same way based
Oklahoma
off of what
City
I saw as well?
Because Oklahoma City had a home game. Minnesota won 2 games on the road. It's a big difference here.
I'm looking at the person. I'm looking at the personnel that they're going up against. That's what I'm doing. I'm paying attention to the actual basketball that's being played, not the money I'm losing because I keep losing these parlays.
Mm. That's not true, but okay.
All right, look, Doggy, I love you, but I got to go with Stephen A on this.
Oh, Timmy.
And I'm gonna tell you why. Here's why. Number one, right now the measuring stick for the Boston Celtics is not the Eastern Conference. It's not even their own standard of play. It's not the Denver Nuggets, who we thought was going to be the team maybe they would see, and they still might. That's not the measuring stick anymore. The measuring stick for the Boston Celtics now is the best thing that I've seen in this postseason, and that is Minnesota's defense. And that now becomes the thing. You look at the Boston Celtics without Kristaps Porzingis, and who knows if or when we're going to see him. The margin for error is smaller. They're not going to be challenged in the Eastern Conference. They might have a more difficult series in the next round, whether it's Indiana or New York. They won 64 games. They lapped the rest of the conference. They're going to get to the NBA Finals, barring some sort of injury to another guy. The measuring stick now is that defense that I saw out of Minnesota the other night that I've seen to this point in the postseason. I got news for you. Jason Tatum is going to have to make jump shots against that team. So his shooting concerns, I'm not sitting here saying, whoa, where are we with Jason Tatum? I'm not doing that because Jaylen Brown has emerged as a legitimate number one option. And that's a good thing for Tatum. It takes some of the pressure off him. But they're not going to win a title with who they're going to have to face. And by the way, I don't know who that's going to be coming out of the West. But Jason Tatum's going to have to make jump shots at some point. So I'd like to see more consistency with that jumper because I'm also going to remember the finals against Golden State. That was the biggest stage he had been on. He got outplayed by Steph Curry in that series. And in some ways, you could say he might have got outplayed by Andrew Wiggins, who guarded him and gave him almost 20 a night. So Jason Tatum still has things to answer. And so the fact that he's not in great rhythm with his jump shot, it's not a great place to be right now, but we're still early in this. He still has time to find that rhythm because he's going to need it for the Boston Celtics to win a championship.
All right, we'll leave it there. The Celtics are currently the odds-on favorite to win the title.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Can you remember the last time you had fun on a bike ride? Electric e-bikes, the number one seller of e-bikes in America, is here to bring fun and joy back to biking. The riders routinely say they feel like kids again riding these bikes, and one even said, I'm a 46-year-old man and can honestly say I haven't had this much fun on a bike since I was 10 years old. These e-bikes from Lectric are fast, up to 28 miles per hour. They offer lightweight, foldable e-bikes, so you can easily take them on the go to explore national parks, campgrounds, and more. Even if you don't have a truck, trailer, or bike rack, many of their models will fit in the trunk of a car. They also offer long-range batteries that provide over 65 miles of range, so you can explore further and longer. Head over to electricebikes.com today and take their bike quiz to find a model that's perfect for your needs. That's electricebikes.com. Have a great day, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Quick take, let's get it. The Rangers overcame two deficits in regulation before Vincent Trocheck scored a power play goal in double OT to secure a 4-3 win and a 2-0 grip on the series. Let's go. Mad Dog, I understand you, sir, have a particular interest on the series.
Well, first off, before the series began, the Rangers, who won the division, had more points than Carolina, were a plus 130. Tim, you know what that means? Put $100 on to pick the Rangers to win a series. Win 100. They had home ice and a better goalie, and they're plus 130. Now, even Fat Robin Rapid's going to get that one right.
Yeah.
That is a layup. So as a result, last night, second overtime, needed that game in the worst way, and the Rangers scoring a power play. Listen, the Rangers got it going right now. They are tremendous. They've scored four power play goals in two games. Carolina had two leads last night and lost. Shesterkin, the goalie, made 54 saves. I think the Rangers now in the cup final different. I definitely think they're going to win the East. They're going to win this series. They're better than Carolina.
Yeah.
Now, listen, that was Carolina's chance. Get a split, go home. Rangers recovered from two deficits. The power play goal at midnight. Big game. Obviously a huge win. I like the Rangers to win this East, this cold
but
Eastern
Conference.
But
not the full deal.
I do not like them in the cup final.
Who do you like?
Colorado. Colorado's okay. Good.
All right. We'll keep it rolling.
McKinnon. Yes, sir. You may continue.
The Nuggets' Jamal Murray was fined $100,000 for tossing items on the court. Murray avoided a suspension for the NBA for tossing a towel, then a heating pad, in the direction of an official during Denver's 106-80 game two loss, to the Timberwolves. Mad Dog, tell me this. Do you feel like Murray should have been suspended?
Dave Stern must be basically tossing in his – how in the world does he not get suspended? This is ridiculous. This is the league that Patrick Ewing left 1 foot off the bench back in the late 90s, and the Knicks lost that series to Miami. Eight guys suspended. He threw something on the court. Mark Davis, the crew chief, said if we knew who did it, he would have been ejected from the game right there. If you're a fan and you spent a fortune to go to that game and you threw something on the court, they throw you out of the arena. How is Murray? I know, who cares about some stupid fine? A guy makes $50 million a year. The fine means nothing. Token. How does he play this game? You know what? If it was 1-1, I got a funny feeling he'd be suspended. The fact that it's 2-0 and Murray wasn't there for game three, I think the NBA wants something competitive. I know that's a tough thing to say, but I think there's something to it. That is a disgrace that he does not get suspended for the third game. The NBA is very soft here. I'm very down on it. Murray should not be playing on Friday night. Timmy?
Yeah, listen, I'm shocked that he wasn't. I said it yesterday. I'm relieved. I'm glad. Selfishly, I'm going to be there for game three on Friday night. I want to see Denver's best punch, and that's only going to happen with Jamal Murray, who's got a lot of pressure on him now. I mean, my goodness, not only the way he played in game two, now this, he wasn't suspended. You can imagine the treatment he's going to get in game three by that Minneapolis crowd. He's got to respond in a big way. I want to see Denver at full strength. So we're going to get that, at least closer to it with Jamal Murray. So I'm relieved. I'm shocked. I can't believe it, really, because there's two components to this. One is, this goes onto the floor, this heating pack. By the way, I was shocked. That's the same heating pack I think I wore in the 90s. They haven't improved the technology. I don't know how that happened, but that's what it is. That thing's wet. It's about maybe an inch thick. easily could have somebody step on the outside edge of that rolling ankle, whether that's Carl Anthony Towns or your own teammate, KCP, kicked it inadvertently first. If that's Towns that comes down on that, rolls his ankle, and he misses any time, and he's limited to this series, you got a major problem on your hands. Or if he's limited going forward, even worse. The other thing that could happen, you step on top of it. It's slick because it's wet, and it's a slick surface. You could slide out. There's a groin tear. Now you got a real problem on your hands. So I just think the fact that that didn't happen shouldn't get us distracted from the intent. The intent was, number one, it seems like he was throwing it at the official. So that's one thing. It went right past Mark Davis. Was he throwing it at him? I haven't heard Jamal Murray comment on it. Or was he just frustratedly throwing it toward the court? I don't know. But it went right by Mark Davis, and that's who he was having the problem with all night. And it goes onto the court in the middle of five guys jumping down in the middle of the lane. I'm shocked from a player's safety perspective alone that the league did not suspend him for this game. Relieved, but surprised.
I'm very relieved because I don't want any excuses. I want to see the reigning defending NBA champions go on the court fully loaded and try to defend their crown against this team that is threatening to obliterate them and make them completely irrelevant right now. That's what the Minnesota Timberwolves are doing with them. I remember, Doggy, in the first half, I haven't seen defense played like that against a team in 30 years. I mean, they were on lock and key. They were suffocated. Minnesota were like piranhas against these dudes. And they were frustrated, and you could see it. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was frustrated. Jokic was frustrated. Aaron Gordon was frustrated. And, of course, Jamal Murray. I don't disagree with any of what you're saying, Doggy. Listen, there is no question that Jamal Murray deserves to be suspended. There is no question about that. There's also no question for those of you who are this young, wet behind the ears, breath smelling like Similac, don't know no better. Let me tell you something. There's a guy by the name of David Stern, God rest his soul, the former commissioner, Adam Silver's predecessor. All right? Adam Silver was the deputy commissioner when David Stern was commissioner. Obviously, Russ Granick was before him. Let me tell you something right now. David Stern had been that commissioner, I assure you,
absolutely,
Jamal Murray would have been suspended Friday's game.
Absolutely.
Not even a thought. And by listen, obviously it was far, far, far more serious than what transpired the other night. But when the brawl at the Palace in Auburn Hills took place years ago, what did David Stern say when he announced those suspensions for the rest of the season to Ron Artest and the 25 games or so to Jermaine O'Neal and Steven Jackson and all these guys? What did David Stern say? They said, did you put it to a vote? Yes. He said, yes, it was unanimous, 1-0. In other words, nobody else had a call. He wasn't having it. And that's exactly, I believe, even though one does not compare to the other, that's exactly how David Stern would have treated Jamal Murray. I bring that up because it's important for Adam Silver, who is a great commissioner, in my estimation. I think he does an outstanding job. I think we're lucky to have him as the commissioner. But there are times where people have been reminding him of how tough he might need to be because of how lenient he has been to certain player issues. Adam Silver might want to be mindful of that moving forward. I appreciate the fact that Jamal Murray ain't suspended because I want to see him play too, Tim. I really, really do. But I also don't want to see this great commissioner, Adam Silver, having his name besmirched because people believe that he is not being as tough as he should be in certain situations. I do believe moving forward, the Mad Dog Russo of the world and others are not going to let up. They're going to continue to let this elevate and grow from the standpoint, yo, Adam, you got to step up and you got to do stuff about this. And they're not going to be wrong because when you see what happens, again, Jamal Murray has no track record. He's no repeat offender. He's usually class personified. By the way, it's not $50 million, it's $33 million he's getting paid this year. Doggy's $36 million next year, but that's neither here nor there. The point is, the brother closes, he wins, he's a champion, all of those different things. This is not indicative of who he is. Jamal Murray's a good dude, all right? But he was out of character and out of pocket in doing what he did, and he's very lucky he's not suspended. Adam Silver, in the future, has to be mindful. Recently, we've been bringing up David Stern's name a little bit too much.
And it's very soft.
And that is to imply that one was tougher than the present commissioner is. I think that Adam Silver needs to be mindful of that moving forward.
One other thing. Murray, you got to meet the media after the game. He blew the media off, didn't talk to the media after the game. One, he played terribly. Timmy was going to tell you about that. He was awful. And then he's in this situation. You can't, you're the, you know, he met the media after he made the shots against
well,
the Lakers.
Well, doggy.
He got to meet the media after the game, Steve.
Have to. Doggy. I agree with you. 99% of the time, I would agree with that. Here's the only caveat that I'll throw out there in defense of Jamal Murray. You might have known what you did, and by talking about it after the game, you might have brought a little bit more attention to it, which might have got you suspended. I think he was hopeful and praying that, oh, my Lord, please, please, please let this try to die down so I don't end up getting suspended for game three. I think that's the only reason he avoided talking to the media after the game, because he was worried that the more he was highlighted, maybe the more conspicuous his transgression would have been. Anybody that might have been
it. I think that's a great point, because he had two options there, right? If he talks, either lie, that's going to make it worse because everybody saw it, or you say something that even gives you people a greater understanding of your intent. So either way, I think it's a no-win situation if he speaks after the game in an emotional state like that with everything that was at stake heading into game three. So I agree with you, Stephen A. I think was probably a good decision on his part.
Stevie, that's not bad. Not bad.
Don't sweat a swing and a miss thanks to insurance tokens from BetMGM. Add an MLB wager to your bet slip and activate your bet insurance token. If your bet with the token applied doesn't hit, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to a specified maximum amount. That's another chance to step up to the plate and bet on the action out there on the diamond. Go to your BetMGM account today to claim your bet insurance token and get your stake back in bonus bets if your MLB wager using the token doesn't win. Only at BetMGM, the king of sports books and official sports betting partner of MLB. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. or New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take pod. Have a fabulous day. Let's get this party popping. So the last two-minute report from Pacers-Knicks Game 1 found a few key things. First, the kickball happens, which was an incorrect call as Nesmith did not kick the ball. However, this cannot be challenged. Then, with about 15 seconds left and Indiana down 118-117, Tyrese Haliburton dribbled up the floor as Miles Turner set a high screen on Dante DiVincenzo, sending him to the ground. Turner got called for an offensive foul. The Pacers challenged the call and were unsuccessful. The league's report stood by that ruling Tuesday. Steve Jabby spent 25 seasons as an NBA referee and had this to say about how these games are being officiated.
For a different era of officiating in which the owners want the letter of the law called, whether it be the first quarter or fourth quarter. And unfortunately, when you hear these pundits saying, well, the situation didn't warrant it and so on and so forth, when these referees go to Secaucus to review this as a challenge, they're not saying, hey, guys, this situation is this situation is that. Even though technically it's a foul, let's not call it because we want the players to, you know, to win the game, per se, as they say there.
Monica, you cover this team.
I do.
One of your many jobs, very intimately. What is your reaction to that in the playoffs?
That's a lot, Molly. Yeah. So real time.
Okay.
Monday night? Game was Monday night. When this call was made, I legit was like, ooh. And 98.7 is ESPN New York. But that is such a tough call in that moment. It took me back to the women's Final Four, the same thing, UConn and Iowa, Twitter's on fire. By the letter of the law, it is an accurate call. I don't know if a, I'm going to say, more seasoned official makes that call in the moment. However, that has happened throughout the course of the season, these game-changing calls down the stretch. And so sometimes it's a little luck involved in being successful. I do not feel like this is the call that robbed the Pacers of the outcome of the game. It is unfortunate, and I'm sure that all the officials, all the players will be on their P's and Q's when it comes to setting screens as we prepare for game two.
Well, number one, there was 102 illegal screens called in that game, and this is what Tim said.
Two.
They called two of them.
104 out of 142 screens.
They called two.
Yeah.
That is, Steve Javik can talk about pundits all he wants. That is an atrocious call. Steve, I'm surprised at you. You never would have made that call. I don't care what they do in freaking Secaucus with these officials. That is an atrocious call. The game's a one-point game with 12 seconds to go, and you make that call in that situation on really a scenario that was very dubious. I know the NBA with their tournament report says, well, technically it's a foul. You don't make that call. And the NBA also told us that it was a walk with Maxey in game five. They never call walks in the NBA. And they called, they said, well, the NBA should have been called for a nonsense. They walk in the NBA constantly and they never make those calls. Never. That is a call that Tyler Ford, is that his name? You cannot make. I'm going to give him a little break on the handball. Now, I don't know why they can't be reviewed, but I'm going to give him a little break on that because there was a tricky one. You know, from that angle, you maybe not be able to see it. I'm surprised the other two officials didn't overrule him, but I'll give him a little break on that. You can make that mistake. That play in that spot, swallow your whistle, son. Swallow your whistle. He gets pounded going to the basket with the shot on his arm. I got no problem with it. And Indiana, listen, they played a great game. They shot 52%. They led for 75-80% of the game, and they got hurt with a couple of calls late in this game. That would have been a layup if they got the thing right with the hand thing, with the hand and the kick. They had a layup because it was a 2-on-1 going back the other way. They would have scored, and they did not score on that ensuing possession. So they would have scored on a 2-on-1 fast break, and they would die by one. Who knows what would have happened with 12 seconds to go in a game? I can't listen. I love the Knicks have done a tremendous job. I mean, calls go, and Indiana will get a call or two later on. But that call in that spot in a postseason NBA game under any circumstances cannot be, I don't care what Javi says, cannot be called. You cannot call that. I'm finished.
Tell him, Mando.
I completely, even though my Knicks benefited from it tremendously, and I'm very, very happy about it, I completely 1,000% agree with you, doggy. Here's the only thing that I would say, though. I don't want to hear anything from the mouths of anybody that was okay with the call with UConn in the NCAA tournament. Okay? Was that UConn? Was that Iowa?
Yeah, Iowa.
I killed it. We used it on here. Okay.
That was awful, too.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying anybody who didn't have a problem with that shouldn't have a problem with this. Now, if you had a problem with that, then you're consistent. What we have to understand is this. The age of sports betting has infiltrated everything. Mm-hmm. And what happens is there's this dogged determination to come across perception-wise, you know, aesthetically, as being committed to making sure we're on the up and up about everything. So even when we mess up, and we stick up the joint with our decisions, okay? At least we admitted it. You know, that's what they're basically saying to everybody. We're admitting it. We're acknowledging it. We got the two-minute report. See? We're telling you. We think we made a mistake here. We're being very, very, very transparent and thinking that it just goes away. What we're not realizing is that you know what it's doing, doggy? It's having us crave for the good old days where, you know what, you're just subjected to human error. And you know what? It's like it could be an official. It could be a player. How continuous are your actions? Are you a continued offender? Not as it pertains to this, but with anything that you're doing. That human element that you're trying to eradicate from the game, it's showing it's not going to happen. There's always a human element that's going to be to the game. Deal with it and what have you. Because I think the big problem is that you got the two-minute report coming out thereafter. And even though they defended that call, which to me was indefensible, and you shouldn't have made that call at all, I think what makes it more egregious is that you got a two-minute report coming out thereafter. Like, okay, we agree with it when most folks don't. But even if you agreed with us and thought the call shouldn't have been made, what good is it telling us that you feel that way when ain't a damn thing you gonna do about it? That's where I'm at with it. I don't really know what else to say about it other than what I said yesterday.
Look, we have seen the Knicks benefit from no calls or calls late throughout this playoff runs. To your point, Stephen A., this is still very much the human error. So now we're having two separate conversations. Should we do away with the last two-minute reports, right? Because retroactively, nothing happens.
Yes.
Which I'm inclined to agree with you on that, right? Or are we talking about how we want games officiated late? I don't think we have the luxury of saying swallow the whistle anymore. Like, I just don't think that's where we are. And whether you feel like Steve Javy would have made that call or not, Mad Dog, and I'm inclined to agree with you, what he said about the owners being involved is real. And we are in a different space.
Well, first off, these owners don't know their fannies from their elbows, half these guys, when it comes to this professional sports. They have the money to buy the team, but then you think Dolan knows what's going on as far as the ins and outs of officiating in the NBA? He don't know. You can't say anything. I will say it. He don't know. He's got no clue. He sits there and he's not the only one. They don't know. So the fact that the owners now are going to sit there and tell, listen, Steve and I have been watching basketball. You played it for 50 years. You don't make that call in that situation. And I'm not blaming the call on the loss for Indiana. They did have a 9-point lead in the fourth quarter. But you cannot make that call. Simple. You can't make it.
I got you.
Yeah. There was a total of 4 missed calls in the final 2 minutes, according to the report.
Go ahead, Steve.
Props to the champion that is Rick Carlisle for the way he handled it. Props to his team, including Miles Turner, for the class that he showed.
He did a good job.
And Miles Turner. And last but not least, Doggy, you know, when you say Steve, you can't make that call. Ladies and gentlemen, he's talking about Steve Javy, the former official it's a caucus. He's not talking about me, okay? So when you say Steve, make sure you say Steve Javy. So everybody know who the hell you talk about. They don't think you're talking about me.
Okay, we just played
the cuss. What's that song like? Not every song's about you. You're so vain.
You're so vain.
Carly Simon.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Molly, that's how you have people believing it. You have people believing it. Steve, you can't make that call, Steve. You just can't make that call, Steve.
Steve
Javy.
What, are you sick of the headline?
Steve Javy, you can't make the call. Listen,
heavy is the head that wears the crown, Steve.
Well, I mean,
Steve A.
I'm going to always get headlines.
Hey, Stephen A., how's it going in South Beach? Are you having a good time down there in Miami?
I was having a very...
Yeah.
Are you going to let me answer your question?
You have a delay, Stephen A. There's a delay. Take it down a notch. There's a delay. Relax.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm having a marvelous time down here, but I had an even better time for this reason. First Take, 21 consecutive month up year over year in the ratings. So thanks to Doggy, Eminem, Shannon, RC, Swag, Orlovsky, Kimberly, you know, Mina Kimes, Kendrick Perkins, Jay Williams, Tim Legler, everybody in between. Thanks to all of y'all who continue to help us remain number one. If it were not for y'all,
the most important part,
there would be
everyone at home. Everyone at home, our First Take fam that watches. All right, we got to go. Top of the hour. Got to get that commercial break in.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruit and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Requires Gemini device and additional paid subscriptions to watch Netflix and other third-party apps. Terms and restrictions apply.